from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. I'm going to do my best to speak over the noise level if I can. But it's a glorious sound anyway. So it's early Sunday morning. It's now the third day since Jesus' unimaginably cruel death on a Roman cross. Dawn has yet to break. On Thursday night, Jesus' disciples scattered as he was arrested, because they were afraid that they were going to be arrested as well. And then the news on the Friday morning of Jesus' trial, his torture, and his death on a cross. So by Saturday, those first followers of Jesus would have been hiding in a house, in an upper room in Jerusalem, the same house where they would have celebrated the Passover meal with Jesus just on that Thursday evening. They were hiding because they were afraid. They were a small group of Jews up against the might of the Roman Empire. And this empire had just destroyed their hope of Jesus being the Messiah, the Son of God who'd come to live among them. Just imagine those long hours for them, lost in grief, the shock of the reality that caught up with them. This wasn't a nightmare from which they could wake up, because Jesus was truly dead. In history, there are some really well-established facts that ground our Easter celebration. We know that there was a man called Jesus, and he developed this surprisingly persistent following of large groups of people 2,000 years ago. Wherever he went, huge crowds of people followed him because they'd heard about the miracles that he was doing, the healing that he was doing in God's name. And at the same time, there was a man called Caesar Augustus. He ruled the Roman Empire in the Middle East when Jesus was born. And by the time Jesus died, another man called Tiberius Caesar was in charge. There are writings by Roman and Jewish historians that tell about all this. And it's backed up by what we find in the New Testament, a later part of the Bible. If you go to the Holy Land, there's also archaeological evidence which gives proof to all three of these historic people. And we also know of a man called Pontius Pilate. Through historical documents, they show that he was placed in a position of being the governor by Tiberius. So Pontius Pilate and his battalions of soldiers in Jerusalem would have had a great deal of experience in the art of crucifixion. They were good at doing it, even before Jesus came along, entered the city with all the crowd shouting out, "Hosanna." And Pontius Pilate and the battalions were up against an angry mob calling for the death of Jesus. He'd claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And Pontius Pilate ordered his soldiers to publicly torture and kill Jesus, because Rome was really skilled at dealing with any threats to the way things worked. They had it all worked out, and anything that went against them was seen as insurrection. It had to be stamped out. And empires, even today, know how to kill, steal, and destroy people. And the reality we proclaim that at Easter is that Jesus really died, but he also rose again from the dead. It wasn't a magic trick. It wasn't an illusion. It was God's plan. God's plan from eternity. And people continued to follow Jesus and his teachings for centuries after his death. And that's what makes it so unusual. There are so many other Messiah figures that have appeared over the years. So many people have claimed to be the Messiah or Jesus coming back again. But this Jesus that we worship actually died and truly rose again. And the light of the historical evidence makes this plain. Had Jesus been like any one of those dozens of messiahs hailed and followed faithfully in their lifetimes, but forgotten after their deaths, the name of Jesus would just be a footnote in history, maybe known to some of the specialists in the history of Israel and Palestine. But on that first Easter Sunday, something happened following Jesus' crucifixion and his death. What happened on that first Easter Sunday marked a complete turning point in human history. The Gospels tell us that on that Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb of her rabbi Jesus. She's lost in grief, tears streaming down her face. She's got to go to the tomb where Jesus had been laid to rest. And the stone is removed from the entrance. Other Gospels say that Mary ran to the disciples. She went to Simon Peter and Jesus' beloved disciple. They ended up going with Mary Magdalene to investigate the empty tomb and see for themselves just what had happened. They went into the tomb. They saw the cloths that had been used to wrap the body of Jesus lying on the ground. The face cloth neatly folded. They see and they believe. It all hinges on belief. The two disciples return to their homes. Mary remains. Throughout church history, Mary Magdalene has often been really misunderstood. Jesus was the center of her being. He was her world. And first he was put to death, and now even his body has been taken from her. She's weeping inconsolably when the angels ask her, "Why are you weeping?" And in her deep loss, she says, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Mary Magdalene turned and went back into the garden, and she saw a man standing there. And that was Jesus standing in front of her, raised from the dead, never to die again. But she doesn't recognize him. She still can't grasp the miraculous revealing of Jesus' resurrection, even though he's standing in front of her. But then Jesus spoke a single word to her. He called her by her name, and that did it. Hearing her name called by Jesus, the light of the glory of God suddenly floods in. Mary Magdalene ends up becoming the apostle to the apostles, bringing the good news that life has conquered death. She goes out into the darkness of the night only to return illuminated by the light of the risen Jesus. And she can confidently proclaim, "I have seen the Lord." She goes back and she tells the other disciples. And then later on in the stories in the Bible, we're told that the resurrected, risen Jesus appeared to those disciples. They saw and they believed. And 2,000 years later, we're left with faith. We're never, in most of our lifetimes, going to see that bodily resurrection, but we're waiting for the time when Jesus comes again. He's not told us when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, or even where it's going to happen. But he's told us that at some point it will happen. And our task, our job, is to be ready for when he comes again. Because when he does come again, that will be a glorious day. That will be the time when everything is made new. Everything restored perfectly in the light of Jesus. And we're waiting and praying and hoping and getting ready for that day. And we do so through faith. We're all here this morning because we've got some degree of faith. We know that there's got to be something that goes beyond just a story. And what we celebrate today is our part in God's story. The part we each have to play. The working of our hearts and minds. God working in our lives. Just imagine the look on the faces of those first disciples and of Mary Magdalene when they suddenly realized it was all true. Just imagine those faces that previously had tears streaming down them, completely transformed by joy as they realized that God's final plan had worked. Everything that had been foretold through the prophets hundreds and thousands of years ago was actually a reality. And they found themselves then having to live in that reality and embrace it. And we do exactly the same. We live in the reality of Jesus in our lives. We live in the promise that was made to us by the Father that we are never going to be abandoned. We're never going to be left alone. Doesn't matter what life is going to throw at us. It doesn't matter what is going to get in the way, because God is always going to be there for us, reaching out to us, loving us, enjoying us as we enjoy God in return, but also calling us to share that good news that Jesus is alive, he's risen, he will come again, and in him we are made perfect. And from those first disciples, the early church movement began to spread. And of course, today it's gone global. Wherever Christians are meeting today, they're proclaiming the resurrection. It doesn't matter if it's in a big cathedral, a tin hut, or up on the side of a mountain. Wherever people are meeting, people are proclaiming good news. And people are being called over and over again to come and follow Jesus. Come and live in this story. Come and make it our own story, because we are each an essential part of it. And God keeps calling. Sometimes that call from God sounds like a roaring wind, an earthquake, or an all-quenching fire. Sometimes that call from God to us just comes as a silent whisper. It could be some kind of bright neon light in the sky, or it could be just a gentle whisper speaking your name, saying that whoever you are, you're loved, you're chosen, you're special, you're precious. Only believe, God says, and I'll help you work it out. That's a really powerful, special call. And God keeps calling. And that call can come early on in our lives. It can come much later on in our lives. But God will call us in God's own time and in God's own way. And when we hear that call from God, we've got to be ready to respond. And it doesn't matter if we don't know all the words. It doesn't matter if our faith feels tiny and insignificant, because God can do so much with what we see as very little. God will make it special, and God will make faith grow. One of the privileges I had during this last few days was helping people grow in their faith. I was doing some counseling work, but also quite a lot of prayer work. People who'd been Christians all their lives, people who were just discovering what it was to follow Jesus, people who felt they knew it all, and people who felt they knew absolutely nothing. And it was just a joy and a privilege to be with so many people, to talk with them, to guide them, to pray with them, and to help them. And on the final night, they had a call for anybody who wanted to give their life to Jesus, just to come forward so that hands could be laid on them and people could be prayed over. And there must have been a group of us, about 12, I should think, standing in a room of, say, 2,000 people. And people were actually being brought forward, coming forward with a friend or a family member to support them and receive the ministry of prayer and laying on of hands. And I was one of those people who was privileged to pray for these new people coming forward and giving their lives to God. When they did the altar call, one lady came forward with a friend, and the whole room just burst into cheers and rounds of applause. And then another lad came forward, and he actually came up to me with, I think, the pastor from the church he'd started going to. Young lad, probably 18 or 19, called Matty. And he just came forward with a face of complete uncertainty. He knew he wanted to give himself to God. He looked as though he wasn't quite sure how to do it. But that didn't matter, because it was an opportunity just for me to lay hands on Matty and pray with him, ask God to bless him, fill his life with his Holy Spirit. I'll probably never know what happened to Matty. What is going to happen up to Matty is going to be entirely up to God. But what I would like you to do now on this Easter Sunday is just take an opportunity to recommit your life to Jesus. Or if you're here and you don't know Jesus and you're not quite sure, just an opportunity to pray for God's Holy Spirit to come on you now, because God is always pouring out that Spirit. So, despite the madness that's going on, let's just pause. Close your eyes, if you're willing. And just over in your mind, as I pray, just speak your name. Just hear your name being spoken. Just hear God telling you that you are loved, you are precious. You are God's child, chosen in, delighted in by God, because God loves you so much. God has so much that he wants to give with you, that he wants to share with you. God wants to fill your life again with the joy of his Holy Spirit.
God wants you to see Jesus risen from the dead, the crucified Jesus alive, resurrected, smiling, filling us all with the gift of that Holy Spirit, saying, today, I love you. Today, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It's only the future that matters. And it's that walk that you have with Jesus that absolutely matters. So today, I'd like us all just to give thanks for who we are, each of us chosen and made special by God. Because we're each God's special people. We're each chosen, and God will bless us because Jesus is alive. Jesus is here. Jesus is with us now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And if there's something in that you'd like to talk about, then by all means, come and see me afterwards or send me a phone call. Make a phone call, send me a text. I'd be really happy just to sit down and talk about faith for those who are wanting to know more, because God is still touching hearts and minds in the same way that Jesus did when he appeared to those first disciples. Our lives continue to be changed for the better by the power of the Holy Spirit in amazing ways that we can only call miracles. God calls us to come back to worship again and again, because this church is a place of resurrection where love conquers death. Here we can meet Jesus again in worship, surrounded by people whose lives are just as messy and broken as ours, because we've got a sure and a certain hope built on Jesus that God is going to show up. So place your whole trust in Jesus. And we'll come to share in the confident words of the disciples. We have seen the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.